Hello, South Fork family. Wherever you are today, whether you're sitting in your living room on your couch, whether you are gathered around a kitchen table, or if you're sitting in your backyard on your back porch with a cup of coffee, we just pray that worship is a blessing for you today. We pray that you were lifted up, that you were encouraged, that you were edified by your time with the family here at South Fork. Even though we are physically separated, we want you to know that we are never spiritually separated from one another. Whether you have been an active member at South Fork for 40 or 50 years, whether you stumbled across this link on Facebook or YouTube, or maybe your family member sent this link to you hoping that you would join in and log on with us today, we are just so thankful that you're here. We are thankful that you have welcomed us into your home so that we get to play a part in your day, so that we can share life and share worship with you today. To all of the young families who are currently wrestling your kids, who are probably running around screaming, if you've got a crying baby, thank you for being here. We are so grateful that you are a part of this family, that you make up a key portion of who we are at South Fork, and we want you to know that you are loved, and we are so grateful for you as well. Before we get started, I'd like to just give you a moment to breathe, to take a moment and rest. Because we recognize and we know that this has been a wild week, that this has been a wild past couple of weeks. We want you to know that you are not alone as you navigate the difficult waters that is our culture right now, as you try to figure out what your life is going to look like in light of your situation, as we try to figure out what this new normal is going to be. Many of you have made the shift to working from home. We have greatly decreased, if not eliminated, all social gatherings in person. And I have a feeling that over the next few days, that's going to decrease even more. Our favorite stores are closing. Some of you aren't getting to go on your normal Target runs. You can't play at the park. And you can't even go eat at your favorite restaurants. You can't sit down and have a meal together with your friends in public. Nothing appears normal. And we're wondering what exactly things are going to look like and when they're going to return to some semblance of normalcy. We are longing for that too. We are longing for things to be set right, to be turned right side up again. A lot of us find ourselves praying for a miracle, praying that God would step in and that he would stop the madness. Because we often feel like we're surrounded. And often when we feel that way, we feel like we need an escape plan, that we need a way out, but maybe that's not what we need. Maybe instead of an escape route, we need a change in perspective, a way of seeing the world in a different light. Instead of getting away from the situation altogether, maybe we just need to see it a little bit differently. There's a story in 2 Kings 6 about the prophet Elisha that speaks really deeply to the world that we live in today. A little bit of backstory, Elisha is being chased down by the king of Aram, and the king isn't exactly excited that Elisha has been helping the king of Israel by telling him exactly where the king of Aram and his army are going to be at any given period of time. The king of Aram was so stumped by this situation that he thought there was some kind of insider, a double agent who was working for both armies, who was working against him. But when he finds out that Elisha is the key player in the whole situation, he was the one hindering his army's plans, the king immediately sends out a search team to go find Elisha. And when word comes back that Elisha is in the city of Dothan, he immediately sends out an army, horses and chariots, ready to go and capture Elisha. So we pick up in verse 15 of 2 Kings chapter 6. This is the word of God. When the servant of the man of God, that's Elisha, got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. The prophet answered, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Elisha then prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. They were surrounded. It seemed as if there was no way out, as if this was indeed the end. And if I'm being honest with you today, I felt a lot more like Elisha's servant than I felt like Elisha over the past little bit. We often feel like we are looking on the outside and the only thing that we see is what's surrounding us. We only see what appears to be on every side, what's ready to take us over. And this develops a sense of fear within us that can be crippling if we allow it to be. Some of us are afraid of what your job is going to look like in the next couple of months. Some of you are afraid if there's even going to be a job left for you in a couple of months. Some of us are afraid that we may never go back to the normal that we were so used to. A lot of you are afraid of getting sick, or maybe of a loved one getting sick. But what fear does to us, and what it did to Elisha's servant, is it kept us from seeing what was going on behind the scenes. When we only see what's in front of us, what's surrounding us, we tend to put our blinders on. And we're certain that the reality that we can see is the only reality that there is. But I love Elisha's response in this situation. I love what he says. I love how he says it. Because Elisha knows what his servant needs to hear. And I'm convinced that his words to his servant are just as powerful for us today. He is a non-anxious presence in the middle of the trouble. He's calm and he's collected, and he doesn't allow the surrounding army to shake him whatsoever. And he says, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And you can almost see the look on the servant's face. He has this look that's like, I passed third grade math. I know that thousands are more than two. I don't see those with us. I don't see anybody else but the two of us. What are you talking about? And then Elisha starts to pray. And slowly this prayer has become my own over the past couple of weeks. It's been my prayer for you. It's been my prayer for our church. It's been my prayer for our community, for our country, for our world. He says, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." And I love that as soon as Elisha finishes praying, his servant's eyes are opened immediately to see who those with us were. Suddenly, he was able to see what was happening behind the scenes. He was able to see what was happening backstage, what was going on in secret, who was able and ready to overtake whatever forces were standing in the way of God's people. But notice what he doesn't pray for. He doesn't pray for victory or deliverance, or a way out, or a strategy, or an escape plan, a way that they could sneak past the army when they weren't looking. His prayer was that his servant's eyes would be open to see the ways that God was already present and working in the middle of the trouble. I pray that God gives us those same eyes to see, the same eyes to see what's going on behind the scenes. Eyes to see who is standing with us and for us. Eyes to see the armies of heaven that are fighting for us continually. You see, God has a specialty in opening blind eyes. Whether that's this story, or whether that's the story of the man in John 9 who needed his eyes open to be able to see Jesus. Or maybe it's the disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24 who couldn't recognize who Jesus was. He often works in secret ways, opening people's eyes to see the work that had been going on the whole time. But see, there's one aspect of the story of Elisha that I think we tend to overlook. The servant went outside and saw the army early in the morning. Now, early in the morning means different things for different people. For some of you, waking up this morning by 10 a.m. to log on to this worship service would be early in the morning. For some of you, waking up by 8 o'clock to start your online school is early in the morning. But for others of us, waking up before the sun rises is what we would call early in the morning. And I'm convinced that for Elisha's servant, this meant that he got up early enough that it was still dark outside. Maybe as the sun was just beginning to break the horizon, so that he could just see the outlines of the horses and the chariots and the men who were standing outside the city ready to overcome them. But then I'm reminded that God does some of his best work in the dark. While it's still too dark for us to completely see him, for it's still too dark for us to see our situation, maybe we just can't quite see clearly. And even then, Elisha prays that God would open up the eyes of his servant so that he could see what God was up to in that moment. long before he could fully comprehend what was in front of him. Scripture reminds us that it was early in the morning while it was still dark when Jesus overcame the grave, when he walked out of the tomb. And Mary even needed her eyes to be opened too, right? She didn't recognize Jesus at the first. She didn't recognize what had truly been done until Jesus spoke her name. So maybe that means we're in pretty good company when we too need our eyes open to see Jesus for who he truly is. But see, we often feel like we're in a situation that is just going to lead to destruction. In the story of Genesis, Joseph has a bit of a roller coaster life. But after everything that happens for him in Genesis chapter 50, he makes this bold proclamation that you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. Romans 8 reminds us that God works in all things, not just some things, but all things for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God takes what the enemy intended to use for evil, what he intended to instill fear in you, what he intended to instill anxiety in you, what he intended to shake your rhythms, to shake your foundation, what he intended to shake what you thought your identity was rooted in. And God takes those things and he turns them for the good of those who love him. It may look like you're surrounded. In fact, it may feel like you're being overrun. It may appear that hope is lost and that this is going to be an uphill battle, that it's going to take a long time to win, if victory even is in the cards. It just might look like the evil that the enemy had planned for you is going to overtake you. But even when you feel like you're surrounded on all sides, the reality is that you are surrounded by the God of angel armies, the one who has been fighting for you the whole time. Jesus himself would put it this way in John 16, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have already overcome the world." This is a season for new passion to break out among God's people, to reorient our lives around what truly matters, to fix our eyes on the faithful presence of Jesus, to see what he's doing in all things. Because see, he's a waymaker. He's clearing a highway for his people. He is parting in the impassable sea so that you can walk through on dry ground, pointing you to the promised land. So one final story before we close. Ed's wife woke him up in the middle of the night telling him, I can't sleep. There's something that is weighing down on me. It is keeping me from getting any rest. So Ed talks to his wife for a few minutes and she just says, I just need you to pray for me. And now Ed is a songwriter. So naturally the words of his prayer became a melody, a song that he repeated over and over. So a few days later, his friend Chris Tomlin gave him a phone call and said, Ed, I've been writing this record and we're almost done with it, but I feel like something's missing. I feel like you and I should write a song together. And Ed responds and he tells him the whole story about his wife staying up in the middle of the night, not being able to sleep. And they prayed and he had this chorus that had been in his head for days and he didn't know what he was supposed to do with it. So Chris says, I feel like God is up to something right now. I feel like there's a song that we need to write. And the chorus of this song is one that you have probably heard before, not one that you have probably sang before. The chorus goes something like this. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. For the God of angel armies is always by my side. Ed and Chris wrote the song, Whom Shall I Fear?, based on the story of Elisha and his servant in 2 Kings 6. And I pray that you'll take a few minutes this afternoon to go listen to that song, and I pray that it blesses your soul. But a lot of us find ourselves in a very similar situation that Ed's wife did, don't we? We feel surrounded. We feel the weight on our shoulders. We see the world around us and we're confused and we're not really sure how we're supposed to process it. It feels like the night just isn't going to go away, that the enemy is just too real and nearby and we can't shake it. But my prayer for you is that God would open your eyes to see the ways that he has been fighting for you the whole time, that you would see the armies of heaven that are on your side, who are fighting for you when you can't fight for yourself. that you would know that those who are with us are greater than those who are with them. For if God is for us, who can be against us? I pray that you won't feel surrounded by the world, but you would feel surrounded by the overwhelming, faithful presence of God. Let's pray. Lord, would you give us eyes to see? God, eyes to see you for all that you are, but God, also eyes to see the world in the way that you see it. God, in the moments that we feel surrounded by the enemy, God, would you remind us that we are truly surrounded by you? God, that you are fighting for us when we are too weak to fight for ourselves. God, if you are for us, who can be against us? God, when we go through trouble, would you remind us that you have already overcome the world? Jesus, remind us that you have overcome the grave. Spirit, remind us that you are with us and you are not going anywhere. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you leave today, I pray that you hear the words from Numbers chapter 6 as a blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Peace and blessings, my friends.